Parsha begins, Vayetze Yaakov Be'er-Shova, Vayelech Harona. Yaakov left Be'er-Shova, and he went to Haran. Zot Rashi, Vayetze, Yaakov went, Lehoye Tzerach Lichtoiv, Ela Vayelech Yaakov Harona. The Pasuk only had to say that he went to Haran. Why did it have to say Vayetze? He left, and Vayelech, he went. If I would have said Vayelech Harana, I would know he left. So Rashi says, the reason is, V'loma hiski yitziyasai, why did I have to repeat it? Ela magid shi yitziyas tzadik min hamokrim oisei roshim. When a tzadik leaves a place, it makes a roshim on the place that he left. Shabizman chat tzadik be'ir, when there's a tzadik in the city, who hoide, who ziva, who hadara, he's the crown, he's the light, he's what makes the city. Yatsamisham, pana hoide, pana ziva, pana hadara. When he leaves, all of that leaves with him. Adoshet Nurashi. The Kleyoker says, very nice. But what happened when Avram left? Avram traveled, Lech Lecha Mi'artachem Ladcha. What happened when Sarah left with Avram Avinu? This is not the first time in the Torah that we have a tzaddik leaving a place. And it doesn't say Vayetze Vayelech. So according to the Kli Yoker says, why does it say Vayetze Vayelech? So the Kli Yoker says that there's a chiddush here. There's an added chiddush. You might have thought that if this tzaddikim left behind in the first city, it doesn't make a roshim when he leaves. In other words, when Avraham Avinu left, what did he leave in his place? It was desolate. There were no tzaddikim. So when he leaves, he takes everything with him. He takes the hoide, the ziva, the hadara. He takes everything that's important in the city, and he takes it, and there's nothing left there. So you would have thought that when you have Yitzchak and Rivka sitting behind in the town where in the Be'er Shava, and Yaakov is going to Haran, you say there's no Roshim. Well, Yaakov leaving didn't create a Roshim because Yitzchak and Rivka are still there. There's still the town still has things of beauty. So Kli Yoker said that's the Chiddush. The Chiddush is even if that tzaddikim left, but every tzaddik adds something. So when Yaakov left, there was still something missing in Be'er Shava. Although Yitzchak and Rivka were still there, and there was still Hoid and Ziva and Hadara, but nonetheless, there was still something missing. Chasam Sofer takes it a step further. Chasam Sofer says, is that in order to realize what was missing, you have to be on the level. It takes one to know one. If you don't understand what Ruchnius is in the first place, you can't possibly understand that a place is devoid of Ruchnius. So therefore, it's only over here, when we have Yaakov left Be'er Shava, and he left behind Yitzchak and Rivka, they were people of Ruchnius, of Madrega, and they were cognizant of the fact that there's now less Kedusha over here. So you have to have that Madrega to understand that there's a lower level of Ruchnius. Svasemes explains why in Parashas Vayetze there are no breaks in any of the Torah. If you look in the Torah, in Parashas Vayetze it goes straight through. There's no breaks. There's no spaces. It goes straight through. Svasemes says the reason is to tell us that although Yaakov was leaving Be'er Shava, he was leaving Eretz Yisrael, and he was going to Haran, which was Chutz Laaretz, his mind was always on Eretz Yisrael. Even when he was leaving, his ultimate goal was to come back. And therefore, there's no breaks to say that this doesn't count. It's not like, let's stop and think about it, he's in Chutz Laaretz, but rather, go straight through and we're going to get him all the way back into Eretz Yisrael. This is something that he has to go through, and he has to leave. His father told him to leave, so he left. But the bottom line is that his ultimate, what is he thinking? His thinking is, where am I headed? I'm heading back to Eretz Yisrael. I remember my 11th grade Rebbe, he asked a question. He wanted to know very simple. It was before Yom Kippur. And we know that on Yom Kippur, we say Baruch Shem out loud. Only day of the year we say Baruch Shem out loud during Davening. So we wanted to know, it's interesting. Erev Yom Kippur, people are eating the Sudim Afsekis. The whole day you're eating. There's a mitzvah to eat the whole day Erev Yom Kippur. The Sudim Afsekis, you basically, you're stuffed. And you come into shul at night, Yom Kippur by night, and you sit down for Ma'ariv, you say Kol Nidre, and then Ma'ariv, and now it's time to say Shema, and you're yelling Baruch Shem. You're sitting there, you don't feel necessarily a very high level of Kedusha yet, you're satiated, you just had a nice saftic meal. You would think that, on the contrary, the Ma'ariv after Yom Kippur, when Yom Kippur is over, the next day, you fasted the whole day, you davened the whole day, your whole day, you were the Yom Kodesh, Yom Kippur, you sat through it. You would think, by Ma'ariv, Motzi Yom Kippur, that's when you should say Baruch Shem. But there we don't say it. So what's the reason? The reason is because a person is holding what he's looking forward to. Where is it? What his future is? What his mind is set on? When it comes in Kippur, and although it's the Kol Nidre and Ma'ariv, you're sitting there and you're full and you just ate, but you're looking forward to Yom Kippur. You're looking to the future. That's where you're headed. And that's the case, you can say Baruch Hashem. Ma'ariv Matzah Yom Kippur, you're headed to the kitchen bed, to your food, to getting your food that you didn't eat for the last 24, 25 hours. That's where your mind is. And that's why you're no longer allowed to say Baruch Hashem out loud. The Baal Turim says that we know that Yaakov had a dream and he saw a ladder. The ladder touched the ground, it says, and went all the way up to the Shemayim. So the Baal Turim says is that the reason why the Torah says that it went all the way up to Shemayim is to let you know that even if you're on the lowest rung of the ladder, you're all the way in the bottom, but you should know it's always touching Shemayim. If you look forward, you look up, and that's where you're focused, you know that it's always touching Shemayim. Onto the Meridig Marshal. There was a town that one day they woke up and they saw hovering up in the air, 100 feet in the air, there was a castle. And the castle, you can see inside the castle from below, just treasures. Diamonds, gold, you name it. Treasures upon treasures. It's no one's. It's there for the taking. All of a sudden, a truck rolls into town, selling ladders. So the guy runs over and says, "Oh, what type of ladders do you have?" He says, "Well, I got 25-foot ladder, costs $25. He says, "Okay." He says, "I have a 50-foot ladder, it costs $50. "Okay, what else you have?" "I have a 100-foot ladder, that costs $100. He thinks about it, $100, too expensive. "Give me the 25-foot ladder." Pays $25 and takes his ladder. Next guy comes, he says, "What do you got?" Tells him the whole spiel, 25, 50, 100, and he says, "You know what? I'm going to spend $50, I'm going to get a 50-foot ladder." Another guy comes, and he says, "You know what? I'm going to spend $100. Now what happens to these two people? The guy with his 25-foot ladder is going to stand up his ladder underneath the castle. He's going to stand it up, he's going to take his first step, and when his second foot hits the ladder, he's going to fall flat in his face. Because there's nothing for the ladder to lean on. The same thing with the guy with the 50-foot ladder. The guy who bought the 100-foot ladder, he's going to be able to lean the ladder on the castle. He has a chance to climb up and get to the top. He may never make it. He may get tired. He may slip. He may never make it. But at least he has a chance, because his ladder is leaning against the castle. The insight is that we have to know what the ideal is. We have to know, even though we're not there, we can be very far from the ideal. But we need to first know what the ideal is. If we know the ideal, then we have a chance of getting there. If we don't know the ideal, then we have no chance of getting there. Chavetz Chaim says that the sulam, the ladder, is a ladder that when you're standing on the step, it's one of these types of steps that if you stand there too long, it cracks and you fall down. So if you think that you're going to stay on a level of ruchnius, and you're not going, you're either going up or you're going down. Because if you're thinking you're staying stationary, the steps underneath you are collapsing and you're going to continually fall down. So you always have to remember to go focus upwards and continue to try to go up. And perhaps that is what the pshat, another pshat in the pasuk of Vayetze Yaakov Ve'eshova Vayelech Haran. Yaakov realized now that he had to leave. He had to leave Eretz Yisrael. He didn't want to leave Eretz Yisrael. His ideal was Eretz Yisrael. Even when he was leaving Eretz Yisrael, and he was going out of Chutz La'aretz, he always was thinking, but I'm going to be coming back. I plan on coming back. So the Pasuk is stressing, Vayetze Yaakov, he left. And Vayelech Harana, but he was going with a purpose to come back. There's two ways that the Yetzer Hara tries to get a person. He tries to get a person by saying is that go look at all your old Averis, look what you did, you're never going to make anything of yourself. And he tells you, look at the future, you have no chance. You, who are you? You look at it from the past to the future, you have no choice. Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Shava. Yaakov says, I'm leaving Be'er Shava. I'm leaving behind all my Averis. Whatever I may have done wrong on Yaakov Avinu's level, I'm not looking back. Vayelech Harana. I'm focused on the future. His future was to come back to Eretz Yisrael. He never forgot that as his Sasa Mesaldos. But he was looking towards the future of trying to grow in Ruchnius. The Pasuk says, Vayifka b'mokoyim, Vayol en shom kivo ha-shemesh. What does Vayifka b'mokoyim mean? Zot Rashi, Vayifka can mean one of two things. K'moy upoga b'yericha upoga b'divoshas, that he reached a certain place. So Vayifka b'mokoyim, he reached a certain place, Vayol en shom kivo ha-shemesh, and then he lie down over there. Or Beisenu Pirshu Loshen Tfila. It's a Loshen of Tfila. K'moy v'al tifka bi. So two different shatim on what the word Vayifka means. Perhaps we can explain that the two are connected. Rashi says that he slept. The pasuk says the end of that pasuk. Vayishkav b'markoim hahu. He slept in that place. Rashi says Loshen Miut. He slept in that place. That there's a meaning in the pasuk. He slept in that place as opposed to the last 14 years when he was in the yeshiva Shem Ve'Aver. He did not sleep at all and he learned, I'm sorry, not Shem Ve'Aver, but Beis Aver. He did not sleep at all and he learned for 14 years. We know that Yaakov Avinu was established the tefillah called Ma'ariv. Avraham was Shachris, Yitzchak was Mincha, and Yaakov was Ma'ariv. Many explain this is his tefillah, Vayifka b'mokoyim, that he davened over here. Some of Roshim explain why is it that Ma'ariv is a Rishus. Shachris is a Chiyuv, Mincha is a Chiyuv. Ma'ariv is a Rishus that became a Chiyuv. It's not really Rishus anymore. But it's a Rishus that became a Chiyuv because Klal Yisrael accepted it upon themselves and therefore it's a Chiyuv now. But it still has, in some dinim, Chaim talks about it, but in some dinim it still has a concept of a Rishus. So some of Hashem explained the reason is he said because Kivo HaShemesh, the Rosh Hashanah made an ace and the sun went down early. So it wasn't really a matter of time. It wasn't really at night. So therefore, being that it wasn't really at night, it's only Rishus, because the Chiyuv HaMincha, that's a Chiyuv through Yitzchak. Rabbi Yonason Shteich says, Mori Degivshah. The Gemara in Shabbos and Afid Aleph Amar Aleph says, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, it was Tayrosai Umnasai, full time learning. That was his job, all he did was learn Tayr. The halacha is that if someone is learning full time, is really Tayrosai Umnasai, not someone who happens to go sit in the basement in the middle of learning, he does not have to daven. The Zohar says that Ma'aseh Rav Shimon Bar Yochai did daven, although it wasn't a chiyuv. If someone is mamish Tayrosai Umnasai, there's no chiyuv for daven. It says in Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Beis, Avram was the midah of Chesed, Yitzchak was the midah of Avoida, and Yaakov was the midah of Tayr. Yaakov is Kulei Tayr. Yaakov is Tayrosai Umnasai. Yaakov did not have a chiyuv to daven because Yaakov was Kulei Tayr. Nonetheless, he davened. It's only begeder or rishus. He didn't have to. He didn't have the chiyuv to daven. Therefore, what he was misaken, the tefillah that Yaakov Avinu was misaken, is only a rishus. Now, Shlema Ishtrek says, it says in the pasuk, a little bit later in the parasha, it says, V'yakev, oh, at the end of the parasha, V'yakev holach l'darkai, he traveled on his way, V'yifku uvoi malachai elikin. He makes a diyuk. It doesn't say that Yaakov encountered Malach Elikin. Rather, Vayifku Uvoy, they encountered him, Malach Elikin. The Malach Elikin encountered Yaakov. He says is the Rishon Mishrik says that Yaakov would raise himself to such a high level because he was Kulei Torah that the Malach Elikin came to him. They were looking, it wasn't the other way around. Yaakov wasn't looking for the Malach Elikin, it was just from Fakert. Nachal Kidum says that in this pasuk, Vayifka b'mokan b'yolon sham, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. There are 15 words in this pasuk. Vayifka b'mokan b'yolon sham. There are 15 words. He says that the 15 words corresponds to the 15 years that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov lived together. There were 15 years that they were all living at the same time. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid says that in those years, they learned 15 hours a day. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And he says that it says in Yeshaya, Ki v'koh Hashem tzorei lomim, that the foundation of the world is with koh. Koh is yur and a hay, which is a gematria of 15. So it was these 15 years of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Kulei Torah, is what is the foundation of the entire world. Sfasema says that from Choron to Hara Maria was very far. Yaakov went to Choron, he missed Hara Maria. Pasuk tells us, we know a nace happened and Hara Maria came to him. What's a pshat? He says that if a person really, really wants something, he really, really wants to grow ruchnius, the Rebbein Hashem helps him. He has to really, really want it. If a person really, really wants to grow in Torah, the Rebbein Hashem will bring it to him. Yaakov wanted so badly when he realized that he missed Hara Maria, that the Rebbein Hashem brought it right to him immediately. If a person is misfoul, we have the, so Vayifka Bamokim, we had Rashi telling us, Vayifka Bamokim can mean either reaching a certain place, or a lashon of tefillah. Perhaps it means vayifka, meaning reaching through Torah, the Rebbeinu Shalom, as the tefillah brings one closer to the Rebbeinu Shalom. Yaakov's whole mahus, his whole being, was to bring himself closer to the Rebbeinu Shalom. Heard a ma'aser of Chaim Kanievsky. There's a Yerushalmi who won the lottery, a few million shekel. And he bought himself a nice new car and a nice new house. And his wife tells him, you know, I'm very worried about Ayin Hara. You know, people are looking, we got a new car, a new house, you know. Maybe go to Reb Chaim and ask Reb Chaim for a bracha that we should be protected from Ayin Hara. So the guy goes to Reb Chaim, tells Reb Chaim, he wants a bracha. He says, okay, for what? He says, he got a new house, he got a new car, he won the lottery, you know, he wants a bracha. Chaim says, but for what? He says, my wife said I should come. Ayin Hara, there's an Ayin Hara. People are going to have an Ayin Hara. They're going to look. They're going to be jealous. Chaim says, so now that you won the lottery, do you, before you go to work, do you learn in the morning for a few hours? He says, no. He says, how about in the afternoon? You can leave early from work and go learn this marriage for a few hours? He says, nope. Chaim says, do you take any extra time during your day, during your week? Do you learn more? He says, no. Chaim says, so why would anyone in Bnei Brak be jealous of you? You have to know what's important. The guy got a new car. Chaim didn't have a problem with that per se. He got a new house. But you have to know what's important. He says, in Bnei Brak, no one ever knows what's important. They know. Be jealous of him? There's nothing to be jealous of. A little later in the parasha, the pasuk says, "Vayihi ba'boiker v'hinei hileya." Everyone knows the ma'aser. Yaakov went to Lavan. He wanted to work 7 years for Rachel, and he was tricked. Lavan tricked him and gave him Leah. Question is, why did the Rebbeinu Shalom give that had Yaakov Avinu, the Bechir of the Ovis, who's going to have this Shvatim, why did he give, why did he make this whole story happen? A very interesting story. And furthermore, why didn't Yaakov just hide in the Mekach Tois? He says, listen, I thought I was marrying Rachel. You tricked me, you gave me Leah. You should say the marriage is null and void. I certainly did not sign up for this. I met someone a few years ago, a Reish Kodesh, and he tells me, you see, that Lavan, he was such a Rasha, he was able to go to sleep knowing that he's a Rasha, and he just stole from people and tricked people, and he just liquidated the Yaakov. I told him he's entitled to his pshat. Abul Mai says, I think the Rasha argues. The Rasha is no idea pshat. What was Lavan's taina? What did Lavan explain? What happened over here? He says is that Yaakov asked, Yaakov knew that Lavan was a trickster. Yaakov asked, he said, I want Rachel Bitcha Hakatana. Rachel, your daughter, Hakatana. Zakti Rosh. Lavan changed Leah's name to Rachel. How do you change someone's name? It's Mefurish Halacha, Mo says, if everyone starts calling a certain person by a different name, his name changes. Someone can go, a guy's name could be Shimon for 100 years of his life, and they go to the Bima and they say, from now on, everyone should call Shimon Reuven, and everyone calls him Reuven, his name changes. Mefurish Din and Halacha. As an aside, we know that Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, their names were changed to Shedrach, Meshach, and Abednegoi. Daniel's name was changed to Belteshazzar, but Nebuchadnezzar changed their names. Pare changed Jason's name, Safnas Paneach, but they don't stay. We don't call them, most people don't know these names. We call them Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. However, there is one in Tanakh that most people don't know his original name, and that's Tzidkiyahu. Tzidkiyahu's name, his birth name was Matanya, and the Nebuchadnezzar changed to Tzidkiyahu. And the reason why Tzidkiyahu stuck was Tzidkiyahu's a Jewish name. The other ones that the Nebuchadnezzar named them, and Pari named Joseph, they were not Jewish names. So if Reuven, called Reuven, everyone says, from now on we're going to call him Harry, that doesn't stick, his name is still Reuven. But if they give him another Jewish name, then his name sticks. That's the halacha. So back to the Rosh. He changed the name to Rachel. Then he says, Yaakov, you know what you asked for? This is what you asked for. It says in Shir Hashirim, Zois Kaimoseh Dom Sol Asamar. It says that tall height is considered Jafi, as opposed to not height, is not Jafi. Rachel, according to most Mefarshim, it was Yafi. Leah, however you understand it, in Harakris, she wasn't. Rachel was the Yafi. That's Kaima. Rachel was tall. Zokta Leah was short. Zokta Rosh. Rachel Bitcha Hakatana. Yaakov, I gave you what you wanted. Her name is Rachel. It's my daughter. Katana, she's short. And what's his raya? He quotes Don Ashkenazi. What's his raya? Lavan says, Yaakov says, Lomo Rimisani, why'd you trick me? Zok, yeah, Zok Lavan, Ayame Lavan, Ayame Asa came bim kaimenu. We don't do such things. Lotes Hatsiira, listen to Abachira. If you would have asked me for the younger one, Tsiira, not the Katana, you asked me for the short one, I gave you what you asked for. But if you would have asked me for the younger one, I would have said, we don't do that. We only give the older one, gotta get married first, and then goes the younger one. So according to the Rosh, Lavan went to sleep at night. He gave Yaakov exactly what he wanted. He didn't trick anybody. This is what he wanted. The Oy Yosef Chai says, what happened? Why did all this happen? We know the Medrash in Eicha says that when Chai Yisrael and Golas, they needed a schus, they were even afraid to deserve it, they needed a schus to get out of Golas. Avram came, Yaakov came, Yitzchak came, Moshe came, Baruch Hashem said no, Rachel came. And Rachel was answered. Mevaka al b'neha, v'shavu bonim l'gulam, everyone knows the song, if you don't know the pasuk, Rachel was the zchus of Rachel. And Baruch Hashem was doing was, is that he was doing what he always does, is he was creating the refuah before the makkah. The refuah was that it was only because of Rachel that this whole scenario played out. That Rachel was ready not to, that her sister shouldn't be embarrassed. That she was willing to give up her potential husband Yaakov Avinu. And that tremendous chus, she said, I was ready to give up my husband, my should have been husband. So even though Klal Yisrael, Ra'ivet Avodah Zarah, you should look past that also. And there was in that schus. And that's why the pasuk, that's why this whole story happened. And Yaakov Avinu, why didn't he tie the Mekach Tois? Because Yaakov Avinu made his ishtadlus. There's a yisayit in the world that there's only so much we can do. The Rebbeinu Shalom runs the world. Yaakov said, Rachel Bitcha Hakatana. Yeah, he said it wrong, we know according to the Rush. But he tried. He tried to make sure it was done right. The Maram Shik says that Yaakov told Rachel, I'm going to give you a simon. When I'm going to ask you at night, it's going to be dark, I'm going to ask you, you should say that you're Leah. Just don't say you're Rachel, say you're Leah. Because if Leah is going to want to trick me, she's going to say, I'm Rachel. So if I ask you, what's your name? Say Leah. Leah went and said the truth. Yaakov said, what's your name? And she said, Leah, which was the truth. So Yaakov tried whatever way, tried to make sure that he wouldn't get tricked. And nonetheless, he ended up with Leah. It comes from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. So we always have to remember that we have a responsibility, that we have to do our shtadlus. But at the end of the day, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam runs the world. And as long as we do our shtadlus, it's all the Rebbeinu Shel Olam asks for. Have a good Shabbos.